Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Thank you.
program is being brought to you by ShotNet Web Hosting, reliable web hosting for everyone. Feature rich, reliable, and affordable. Create your own site in minutes with ShotNet's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's S-H-O-T dash.
I'm wide awake.
On this cold, snowy day, we have below-degree weather here in St. Louis, Missouri. With the snow out there, we're all inside, you know, wondering how we're going to get out. But the sun is shining, so that's good news. So today I have a very special guest who is from California. She is a massage therapist and also an intuitive coach. She's very cool. Her name is Sue Hirsch. And I met her through Helene Burke, one of my really, really cool friends, who is absolutely amazing. And hopefully Helene will tune in later on today. I was trying to get her to tune in earlier. But, you know, Sue was telling me earlier that we have someone out there she's been trying to help. So we're going to send her some energy and some healing to, you know, help this process, because it sounds like they're really going through a rough time. And I have a friend named Julie who has two people, Pam and Trey, who are going through frozen pipes, which means their water is sort of stuck, which is really not fun. So we'll definitely have to send Pam and Trey some healing, and my good friend Angela, too, who's been going through some, you know, interesting scenarios. She is an awesome massage therapist, too, who lives in St. Louis, and we're all just watching the snow outside, and Sue, I'm sure, is having fun where she is in California. So we're all wide awake here in Missouri, and it's 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Shout out to Reverend B, who is our producer of Greater Good Ministry Radio, which you can find at www.ggmradio.com, or you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. Our call-in number is 347-237-5339. Again, that's 347-237-5339. So, Sue is an absolute wonderful joy to have. She is an intuitive counselor. She's learned from many of her clients, and she just works very hard to listen to the energy and the muscles of the body, which is really quite amazing. She really does a great job counseling people and really listening to their stuff that's going on inside their body, inside and out. She really puts it together. So as a life coach, she both coaches people on what could work best in the world for them, and also she ties in the massage, which, you know, through the coaching sessions and the massage and the frequencies, it really brings a nice pattern into the energy field. And, you know, does it guarantee that we won't make mistakes? Absolutely not, because every one of us out there can make a mistake once or twice in our life, or maybe even a couple of times, because we're not all really that perfect. But you know what? That's okay, because we have guides, we have God, we have angels, we have all kinds of people. So that's what we have on our side. We have each other, and we have support teams, and we can rely on that, and that's really exciting because that helps us through it. So you can check out Sue's website at reapyourdreams.com. Again, that's reapyourdreams.com. So our call-in number again is 347-237-5339. So with that being said, I'm going to bring Sue live to our call now. Welcome to the show, Sue. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. That's Reap Your Dreams singular. There's no S in there at all. ReapYourDream.com singular.
Perfect. Okay, so it's ReapYourDream.com.
Yeah. One dream, not many dreams. And let's see, we can have many dreams, though, which is really great. We can work on every single one of them as I'm coaching you. And in the end, really, every single dream is about your wellness. It all comes back to you being well and wanting to be well and making that choice and making that the aim and the goal of every choice that you make in life. And another thing about mistakes, yes, we all make mistakes, but the thing is mistakes are great because we don't learn from our successes. We learn from our mistakes. And mistakes don't have to be seen as mistakes either. This is another thing that I'm really big on. I'm big on mistakes because they can just be doorways to bigger adventures. You can make a mistake or something that seems for a moment like a mistake and then look at it and go, oh, okay, well, since I did that and it worked out this way, then it gave me an opportunity to do this other thing. And that can lead to some really great stuff, really exciting new adventures.
And, yeah, I think that we can learn great things from how we process things, how things happen, what's ahead of us. You know, that's really huge what you said right there. And we can learn from each other.
Exactly right. That's why we're not put in this world all alone. Everybody, you know, you share this great adventure of living in this world with all the people around you. You know, no man an island to himself kind of thing. That's why the
Absolutely.
Earth is a populous place and not a place with just a single person living on the entire planet. We're here to learn from each
That's
other.
That's very true. and we can learn so much just from that. So how did you get started doing this? What inspired you to follow the path of a massage therapist and a life coach?
Well, that is a funny story. What actually inspired me is that to start as a massage therapist is that my very good friend and former roommate was having some neck troubles, and it was really, really bad for her. She was trying to sit there working at her computer, and it was almost like I could see the tears starting to stream down her face from the pain in her neck. So I said, lie down, and, you know, I had to do something. She said, what, here, like this? And she lay down, and all untrained, I started rubbing her neck, and her face relaxed, and she said, oh, Sue, this is what you should do. And, you know, that's when the little light came on, because I had sort of been going from temp job to temp job to temp job for a very long time and not really getting anywhere. My life was kind of stuck. And the little light came on. I said to myself, yeah, this is what I should do. And so a few weeks later, my parents called me home for lunch, and because they had seen my life not getting anywhere. And they ambushed me with a college catalog and said, okay, we'll pay for just one more course. And you got to pick something good, and we'll pay for just one more course, and then go get a career, make a career out of that. And so I dutifully said, okay, and I opened the catalog, and I looked through it, and I saw a lot of exactly what I expected to see, a lot of 9-to-5 boring stuff. And finally, my eye landed on a massage class. And I pointed it out to my parents. I got very excited, and I pointed it out, and they said, oh, Sue, people don't do massage for money. They do something real for money to support their hobby of massage. They do something real like secretarial work. And they pointed out all the boring 9-to-5 jobs to me that I could get and should get. And I said, oh, okay. And I pretended to knuckle under. I went to a bank. I took out every penny I had to my name. And I went to a massage school, and, you know, I was shaking because my parents didn't approve of this. And I handed over my money, and I said, enroll me, please. And so I was enrolled. I got to the last half, the last class, and my money ran out. And my parents saw that for the first time in my life, I really wanted to finish something, so they coughed up for the last half, the last class. And now they can say they supported my career choice.
Mm-hmm. So they supported your career choice as a massage therapist. That's really interesting that you just came to that conclusion with a roommate, you know, sitting there who was having problems. I mean, it's a very noble job, and it takes a lot of courage, you know, because we can take on a lot of energies, and it takes on, you know, you just take on a lot, you know, whether it's energetically, yeah, physically, it's a very noble job where,
right,
you protect yourself, and you also work with others.
Yeah, it can really affect us, kind of the way hospice workers are affected, because they see that energy all day, every day, you know, of people coming to the end of a lifetime and really feeling it, really feeling that it's their end coming and knowing it, and that that's stressful and painful. And what happens to me is I pick up tensions and energies from the people I work on in my practice, and I sometimes take that home with me. I try not to, but sometimes I do. And, you know, it gets difficult sometimes. I sometimes am not sure how to set my boundaries. And sometimes, you know, it all comes out in a rush. Like a couple days ago, I think I was more stressed out than usual. And I kind of took it out on my two favorite guys. But they understood. You know, they understood and they forgave me, and the next day I was fine.
That helps. That helps to know that you have some encouraging people who can see that, you know, you've had kind of a rough day and that you're going through changes and you're shifting, because, you know, it is easy to take it on. Do you have any remedies for that, any suggestions that people can do to avoid taking on all of that energy if they want to walk down that path?
You know, I'm still working on it myself. Some days I'm better at it than other days. And one of the best things I've found for me to do is just to breathe, really focus on breathing. Breathe in and then breathe out the tension. As you breathe, just pleasantly as you can, release all that tension and say to yourself, okay, this isn't mine, and I will be okay when I get home because I'm going to leave it here. This isn't mine. It's going to, you know, if there's any of it left, it's going to leave with this person, and I'm going to take back what's really mine. And you take back some of the golden light from that person as they're leaving your massage table, because what they give, they don't lose. They don't even miss it. They don't know what you're doing. And there is enough of that golden light to go around no matter where you get it from. You can get your own back from them, which is appropriate. It's what you should do. And they don't have to know. And you can also regenerate from the earth. You can picture the golden light coming up at you from the earth. You can and picture yourself giving back to the earth what's used or used up and discolored and misshapen, and the earth will simply recycle it. The earth is a great energy filter, and you can also picture it coming from the heavens, because the heavens have just an endless supply of golden and white light and healing light of any color you please, and you just keep getting it from there, and remember, keep dumping out the stuff you've used up, the energetic stuff. It's kind of like our digestive system that way, where you take in what's good, and then you're done with it, and it goes out the other end. Just do that with your energy.
That's a very good analogy. So taking it and taking in new and releasing the old like you would do, you know, even in a normal session. I really like how you put that into perspective so someone could actually see it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, you know, everybody learns at a different pace. So if they see that they're shedding, you know, and they're like the digestive and it's breaking it up and it's moving on, that's a really good analogy for someone who is very visual, and it can help them to, you know, really see through that and bring in new energy, just like the breath.
Right. I'm very visual, so this is the way my mind works. Analogies.
That's
really
great.
Yeah.
That's really great. So how did you get into becoming a life coach? What inspired you to go down that path as well?
Well, it just seemed like a really natural, organic extension of being a massage therapist, because when people come to me for massage, it's a lot like they're going to their hairdresser where they can say anything, and it's kind of like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in my massage room or what's said there stays there. And, you know, sometimes I get to know my massage clients, but when they first come to me, I don't know them, so I'm not someone who's going to go behind their back to their spouse and say, hey, you know what George told me, or you know what Sandra told me, you know, and spill it all. And the thing is, I take my massage practice very seriously. When I began it, I sort of in my own mind and being took the same oath that doctors take, where, you know, the oath of privacy and the oath of doing no harm. And in my mind, if you're gossiping, you're doing harm to somebody. Gossiping is putting out a really bad energy. You could end up telling the wrong person. You could end up telling the wrong person the wrong thing. You could end up telling the wrong person the wrong thing for the right reasons, and it's still bad. But, you know, it's just never going to do anyone any good to hear anything about somebody who's come to you for massage. So these people feel safe telling me stuff about what's going on at home, what's going on at work, and I can read in their bodies if they're liking what's going on at home or what's going on at work or what's going on with a hobby or what's going on with their kids, and because they always hold those tensions in a certain spot in their body, and it's unique for every person. And, you know, it's not just as they're telling me that they're tensing up, it's that tension has been there for a while. We build that tension up, and it's going to take a while to get rid of it. And part of getting rid of it is talking about it. We hear this from therapists all the time, talk about your problems. because once you talk about them, you start seeing solutions that you weren't able to see as you were sort of internalizing them. Internalizing our problems, you know, works to some extent for some people some of the time, but eventually you got to figure out what you're going to do about the thing you're internalizing. And I'm getting people relaxed enough that they can talk. I'm getting them relaxed enough that they can see outside their box. And then I'm reflecting. I started at one point reflecting their thoughts back to them and saying, oh, it sounds like you're not real happy about this. And then they realize, you know what? No, this stinks. I'm not happy about it. I got to do something about it. And sometimes it takes just that much, just that minimal thing, reflecting back to the person what they're saying. You're saying that you'd like this other thing better, it sounds like. And they think to themselves, well, yeah, why am I not doing that already? I should have, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you don't want to shit on yourself, but it's a place to start. Once you realize you'd be happier doing this other thing, then you think to yourself, okay, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to get there? Do I need to look at the classifieds and get a better job? Do I need to talk to my boss and get treated better or get a raise? What? You know, what's it going to take to make me happier? Because happiness is very codependent on wellness. Wellness and happiness are very, very linked. They go hand in hand. If you're not happy in one aspect of your life, it's going to bleed over into other aspects of your life. And you're not going to be a fun person, and you're not going to be a happy person. You're not going to be a well person.
That's very true. That is very true. To really hit that head on.
Yeah, exactly. Because wellness and happiness don't just happen. You have to make them happen, and it takes some thought, and it takes some energy, it takes some effort every day to make choices that are going to lead you to your wellness and your happiness. Your improved wellness and your improved happiness. And I want to be there helping people make those choices.
Absolutely. It's so important for, you know, you to be there to coach people through those choices and those sessions. What do you do if you have a client who is stuffing everything? I run into that a lot where they just stuff their feelings and they don't want to talk about it, and it seems like with you, you're very good at being able to, you know, soothe that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I used to do just that. For a long time, I stuffed my feelings. I sat down in front of the TV, and I ate bags of pretzels, big bags of pretzels in front of sci-fi for a really long time, because I didn't want to hear that little voice inside me saying, no, I'm not happy in my work anymore. It's not enough for me. I'm not challenged enough. And so I get it about stuffing your feelings. It's the easy way to go, really is. But at the same time, it takes a terrible, terrible toll on your well-being. It was taking a terrible toll on me. I was getting very, very fat, and now I have a long ways to go to undo that damage. But what I do about it is I say, okay, well, let's sit here for a minute and think about all the things that you're just tolerating. Let's think about all the little things that you really love doing. What is it you're escaping from when you sit down in front of the TV with that giant bag of pretzels or potato chips? And, you know, what is it that would make you happier? Because people want to be happy. You know, they don't want to be doing this awful thing to themselves, whatever they're doing to stuff their feelings. But it takes some time to have to sit with it and realize, you know, sometimes it takes a while to realize what's really bothering you, what's making you do the escapism thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you sit down and you work with people through those feelings, because, you know, I've run into it a lot where, you know, a lot of times what they need is the soothing. You know, I mean, I run across a lot of people, even just in, you know, feeling the energy and working with them, even over the phone, through a trauma that they stuff and they stuff and they don't. And then finally, you know, we really get to the root of it and their energy settles down, because you can really tell, you know, energetically, because it's really heavy. To me, when run into someone like that, their energy is very heavy. I don't know what you experience when, you know, you run into something like that.
Right, exactly. There is a heaviness to it. There's, you know, I can sense the sadness. Sometimes I can sense waves of sadness because having to stuff your feelings can make one feel kind of sorry for themselves. It's kind of a pathetic thing, you know, to have to stuff your feelings. Why are you stuffing them? Are you stuffing them because maybe you think you have to be strong for somebody else? Maybe you don't want to be a burden on other people? That's really a very sorry state of affairs. And they think they're stuck in that situation of having to stuff their feelings. You know, and I was kind of there for a while, but my stuffing my feelings is a way of not having to examine my feelings and examine the why and wherefore behind my feelings. And
sure.
that way I could keep them quiet. So it was kind of it was serving a double purpose, this stuffing of my feelings. You know, it was a
mm-hmm.
way for me to be able to be quiet and not have to burden anybody else. And it was a way for me to not have to face it myself. So you got to make yourself face it, and you got to make yourself come up with what would I really love to be doing instead.
Yeah, I've run into a lot of clients too who have fears and phobias and even anxieties. So they're very nervous, or they get that very nervous, and it seems again not really as heavy, but almost like they're very scared, you know, like they shake. And, you know, for me, I try again to sort of, you know, go in and tune into that too. What kinds of things would you recommend for someone who maybe has anxiety or nervousness going on? What would you do for them?
It all starts with a lot of breathing and centering and doing something meditative, like maybe just walking in nature and coming to grips with what you're scared of. And when they have phobias, that's not something I deal with on a professional basis because I'm not that kind of professional. So I might mm-hmm. ask them, have you tried a professional? Have you tried seeing a professional for this? And if they haven't
right.
yet, I can often give them the name of somebody really good because I'm pretty well connected out in the field of alternative health.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem like such a very well-rounded person with, you know, the health into it and also the, you know, just the gentleness about you that comes through that someone who's very anxious or fearful just in general. Like if they have those really fearful feelings, it's like you can, you know, utilize their intuitive side and their body and their nutrition maybe even to help them out, which is really neat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And generally, people know what they need. The role of the coach or the philosophy of the life coach is that every single person that comes to you actually has all their own perfect answers and their own perfect solutions inside them, and we're just helping them to stop and think for a minute and, you know, figure out which of these solutions and answers inside them is the most perfect for this particular situation.
Perfect. Yeah, because we often do know what's great for, you know, like it's in there, but I think that sometimes it's buried. And then, see, that's where the coach and the massage therapy and the nutrition comes in to, you know, sort of uncover what's underneath all that stuff.
Absolutely. And the other thing of it is that... Well, here's what I heard from my master coach when I was being taught life coaching. One thing he says is that if you're stuck between two different solutions or two different ideas and you're not sure which one you really want to go for, what you do is you flip a coin. And, you know, if it comes up heads, you go one way. If it comes up tails, you go the other way. But when you flip that coin, think about how it's landed and how that particular solution makes you feel. If you flip the coin and it comes up plan A and you're not real happy with that, go with plan B. Nothing's set in stone.
Mm. Right. Right, and it's sort of like what you said earlier about the person who can go one way, but then, you know, something else can work out another. You know, we often find out that when we look at one way and we're going, oh, I, you know, and then you turn the other way and then you look,
right.
It's still really not like you're making a mistake, but you're really unraveling where you can go with all of that. That's pretty neat.
Right, exactly right. Exactly right. And so
when you work
really
with somebody, you get feelings. Do you also get, I'm sure you get information and intuition. Do you see colors or hear anything when you work on people? Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Very often I am working on someone, and sometimes I start hearing one word over and over in my head as I'm working on them, and then I know I'm supposed to ask what that word means to them or why that, you know, that item is important in their lives. Like one time it was just like I saw a big green stuffed parrot, but it was really green. It turns out this person had that big green stuffed parrot in their house, and it was just a toy, you know, from when their kid was a baby, but it's still there just as a memento, and that sort of thing. Or I heard the word horse one time, that kind of thing, and turned out this person had a horse ranch, or their uncle had a horse ranch, and they were there every summer. And so it's kind of cool that way. And very often, I'm working on somebody on the table, and one of their ancestors comes and starts playing charades with me because I'm more visual than I am auditory. Once I get to know this client that's on my table a little better, sometimes I actually start hearing conversational stuff along with the charades from their ancestors. And our ancestors, once you know they're there, they tend to hang out with you more and more because they loved you in life, and that love doesn't just disappear. The energy does not go away. You can't destroy energy. It only transmutates. And love has an energy all its own. And, you know, every emotion has its own energy. That's why we shake when we're nervous. It's why the energy feels so heavy when somebody's depressed or sad. It has an energy all its own. It doesn't just go away. It just transmutates. And some of us are able to access that energy even after the person seems to have died and moved on. The fact of the matter is the person is still there. It's just that a lot of us can't imagine how to access this person's energy once they've gone and or once they've moved on to the next level. And you and I are able to do a little of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people wonder how to get there, and it's just a process, because I believe that every single one of us can get to that point. You just have to work at getting to that point. And I know you do a lot of accessing there too, and I think it's funny how you use the word charades, how people will play charades with you. I oftentimes will get the most ridiculous things when someone's asking me about a person. One time I had someone ask me about this guy, and I ended up seeing hot dogs and everything else, and turns out they were part of the Oscar Mayer weenie commercial, you know, because I'm seeing the weenie mobile. I'm like, this guy's, you know, this guy is a millionaire. Why would he be at a hot dog stand? You know, it was the most ridiculous thing I think I had ever seen, because I'm like, why on earth am I tasting hot dogs and seeing a floating hot dog over somebody's head? You know, that is the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen in my life, and I thought, I am not going to tell someone that, and it ends up that the thing that they're playing charades, so I'll say it, so it's funny, because, see, I thought, they're surely going to, you know, lock me up for that one.
Exactly. They're showing you for a reason, and you got to trust it, and you got to say it, because, you know, if I don't say what they want me to say, they're going to come home with me and keep bugging me until I do.
Yes, I've had the same problem. If you end up not telling when you're supposed to tell, you end up knowing about it until you find that person and say, hey, guess what? You know, the other day I heard the Oscar Mayer Weenie song, I don't know why, and, you know, my friend's like, you know, that's really funny. And I thought, she's surely just going to say I'm nuts, but it turned out to be something that was so powerful, you know, just like you said, the word horse, and they end up, you know, having a horse ranch, and it needs to be talked about, or it's a healing center, you know, that's really cool.
Absolutely, and it's really fun. It's a kick for me. I love being able to help people like this, and, you know, sometimes it's just what they need. Sometimes it's an inside joke that their ancestor is trying to share with them so that they'll laugh and relax on the massage table while I'm giving them a massage. And, you know, that tends to be very needful. You know, this life can be taken very seriously, and it's taken way too seriously way too often. People need to laugh more.
Yes, they do. And oftentimes we'll be the ones to get the guidance to make the person laugh because they're taking the road way too seriously.
Absolutely, absolutely. And was there anyone that was calling in wanting a reading, do you think?
We don't have anyone yet. I was just going to ask you a question about some of the people that you see. Have you had any particular, you know, with protecting the innocent, of course, have you had any touching moments that, you know, maybe a scenario that really just jumped out at you?
Oh, yeah. I have one client who's, it's either her mother or her mother-in-law loves to hang out with her daughter from the astral plane. And that's always so wonderfully touching because this grandmother, she comes around every time I'm massaging this woman, and she's always telling me how proud she is of her grandchildren, and especially her tiny granddaughter. And I was actually getting messages as well from the little granddaughter one time even before I met her in person, and she was just so clear. And in her mind, she's so clear and grown up, and she recognized me when we first saw each other, just from having spoken to me kind of on the astral, and she came up to me and she said, Susu!
Oh, how cute is that?
Yeah. It was very cute. It was very, very cute.
That's just really touching. I had a similar thing happen. I had a lady putting oils on me one time when I was on the table, Sue, and I really didn't know how I was going to tell her that my grandmother was next to her holding her hand, you know, because she had just brought down her grandmother's picture and said, this is my grandmother. And I thought, oh, she is so not going to get this. This is just awful. And I told her in a way where I said, you know, my grandmother really likes you a whole lot, and she's with you, and she actually understood it. It was the most amazing thing I think I had ever been through for myself, you know, because I had been on the table. I had seen other people many times on the table, but to have my grandmother come through this lovely lady in the way that she did, which was just so touching, it was amazing. And, you know, the fact that you had a granddaughter come to you like that is so powerful. I mean, that's just amazing, the things that happen on the table. Now, do you also work with essential oils?
I do. One thing I wanted to mention, though, is that when you see people who, you know, have already passed on, and when they're right there with the people you're working with, or when they're with the people who are working with you and they're telling you something, it's usually because they know that person will be receptive. So you can generally know when you're seeing something that it's going to be okay to say it, because they don't tend to push themselves on people. They don't tend to push their information on people. Because
this was not pushy at all. It was just the nature of what their belief system was. I thought, you know, how am I really going to tell you that my grandmother is standing next to you if you're very, as soon as I said it to her, she said, I get it.
I'm saying that there's no need for reticence. When you're getting information, it's because the person is ready to receive it.
Yeah.
They certainly
are. That's really huge.
Right. The spirits pick people who are ready to receive their information. They don't, they feel that, you know, giving information, even just to us sometimes, when the person in front of us is not yet ready to receive, it would be a little bit pushy. So they don't do that. So there's really no need for reticence as far as, you know, that's been my experience anyway.
Yeah, you know, it has mine too. It's just very gentle when they come in and they tell you something. It's not very pushy. I've never had that feeling myself either when I've had things like that,
come through.
It's very gentle.
By the same token, I've had spiritual doors slammed in my face when I'm supposed to stay out of somebody's business in some way. Like, sometimes I can tell them, you know, certain things about what's going to be going on or what situations they're supposed to run into down the line, but then the spirits give me to know in some very clear way, usually by just stopping the flow of information quite suddenly, cutting it off. They give me to know that the person I'm talking to has to experience something for themselves and go through something for themselves without my hinting at all, so that they can learn from it, because it's some, and usually that's when it's some very, very important life lesson. And we do keep learning these life lessons over and over until we've really learned them. And sometimes I get a general idea of, you know, the concept of the life lesson, the basic concept of it. But then the spirit won't let me say any more than that. They just stop the flow of information.
That makes a lot of sense. I've literally been pulled out a door with guidance, like, you're not supposed to be there. And when they're ready for me to move, they'll pull me out that door. It'll just literally be, you got to go. And I'm like, okay, I'm definitely going. I'm going right now, and I'm running, and I'm not looking back. And, you know, you just get guided where to go. It's very, very fascinating and very cool. We do actually have a caller that just called in. She's looks like a 011 number, so I'm going to bring her in. I think it's Sandra. Hi, you're on with Amanda and Sue. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Amanda. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Good to hear from you this morning. What was your question?
Well, I'd just like to know if I didn't catch a lot of the show, but what I did catch was very interesting. And I just thought I would just see if there was any message for me, you know, from Spirit.
Why am I supposed to ask you about an electric fence? Do you have an electric fence on your property?
No.
Or wire fence?
No, I'm in a condo.
Okay.
Development.
Are you looking to buy property or hoping to be able to buy soon?
No.
I see pasture, and I see it's fenced in by, like, wire or electric fence.
Is that possibly to do with a place for a business? I don't know.
Might, but it feels like you're supposed to be living there, or you have lived there. And it was very green. I don't see a house. I just see a lot of land. And it's connected to you somehow. I'm just not sure how yet.
Okay. Interesting.
And, but you had a more specific question because there's someone with you. This is a, either a male figure or a very, very strong female figure above you, older, like a grandparent or a great uncle. Tall and slender. Okay, so the figure looks like a female because now she's tall and slender and very willowy. Do you know this person?
I actually was sort of feeling it was my previous client that I had looked after, but she's
Okay.
She's not built like that at all.
No, it's definitely a very tall and slender woman related to you.
Oh, okay. Actually, that my Aunt Muriel passed away.
Okay, yes. Okay, and did she wear her hair up, like in a bun? Or was it very, very short?
It was short. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it once long? When she
it was. Yeah, she.
Okay.
Yeah, years ago, I think she used to wear it up.
Okay, she's nodding yes. Her name is Muriel now. Sometimes communications, there's a lag in communications, like computer lag or time lag in when you're talking on the phone, at least for me. So be patient. And she is one of those very strong, quiet women. Was she in life?
Absolutely.
And very much into propriety. So she's watching over you, making sure that proper things happen to you and around you and for you, and that you're sort of living that tradition.
Mm.
And you probably are. She's quite pleased with you. It's like she's sort of grudgingly admitting that she's proud of you. She's doing it in a proper way. Not really grudgingly. She's just being proper in how she's expressing her pride in you and saying, yes, the women of our family were always like this, and she's following the tradition.
Okay, I do get that.
So you'll just have to take it as read that she is proud of you. She's just admitting it in her own way.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I was thinking, like I was listening to my mom talk the other day, and
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, my gosh, she sounds so much like Aunt Muriel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And Aunt Muriel is still very much around you and yours. And she obviously wanted you to know it.
Mm. Does she have a message for my mom? Which is your sister?
It's something about either a necklace or something like a rosary. Does your mom have like a necklace or a rosary of hers or a necklace with a cross?
Yeah, I was going to say a cross. I saw the cross right away when you mentioned that.
Yeah, the beads are dark, though. It looks to me like the beads are dark, like black pearls almost.
I'll ask my mom. My mother's mother died
mm-hmm.
giving birth to my mother. And her maiden name was Cross.
Oh, that's why we're seeing the
cross. Oh, that's interesting.
That's why. Okay, see, we get things that we can interpret so that we'll say the right thing, but then, you know, it may not be literal. So this is probably why we're seeing the cross in connection with your mom and
yes,
your and Muriel.
Well, I got goosebumps, so I know that's right.
Absolutely.
Oh, so, you know, my mom is the only remaining sibling, and, you know, of course, she's the youngest with five children in that family, and had a very tough, you know.
Was there a boy that died very young?
Yes. My mother's, my grandfather.
Muriel says he's there with her, and she's looking after him.
Oh,
they're together.
Okay.
They're together.
Well, he actually died in the war. Walter Cluffy was his name.
Okay. Well,
and
he's there with
and
her.
And that was my mother. My mom and her siblings were raised by Walter's mother. So she my mother's stepmother only had Walter as a child, and she married my grandpa, who was her cousin.
And Walter got a ribbon posthumously?
I don't know.
There's some sort of ribbon from that war connected with Walter.
Oh. I will ask if my mom knows.
It's in one of those little flat treasure box things for keepsakes.
I will ask her.
He's poking it, so it's got to be there. He's poking at it.
So my aunt Muriel wouldn't have even known Walter Clossy either.
Well, they know now because they get to
they
the
know
same
now.
Place.
Yeah.
they end up in the same lobby or in the same playground. You know, it's kind of like a giant school or schoolyard up there. You know what people call heaven. It's actually the next school system up. You know how we have elementary school, then we have high school, then we have college,
Then
we have graduate school. Heaven is the next school up above graduate school for all of us.
Yeah,
graduate into heaven. Graduate into heaven from graduate school.
So I wonder, do you get a sense of Leona? Leona around me?
Yeah, she had, I'm sorry, this may get a little bit touchy for you. What sort of sickness did she die of? It almost looks like something like chicken pox.
No.
Who was that went of something like chicken pox? Or was she a nurse who dealt with that sort of thing a lot?
No, Leona was, I cared for her for about a year and a half, and she passed away about 9 months ago.
That's why I'm feeling a medical connection. There's something, she went with something medical.
She broke her hip, and then she broke her hip, and the family wouldn't let her come home because they didn't want her smoking, and she's diabetic, was diabetic too. They didn't want her coming home. She wanted me there to look after her, and they didn't want her to come home and eat and smoke.
Okay, and I'm seeing that when she was younger, she had a really long black straight ponytail down her back. Is that her?
I didn't know her then, so I have no idea.
Okay. Or did you know somebody with a long black ponytail? I'm sorry, I kind of get what I get. I'm not always able to narrow it down to just what you want to talk about. They spoon feed me what's important at the time. So I'm getting another willowy woman with really long, black, straight hair. And she's not super tall, but I connected her with the name Leona, so this might be the same woman that we're talking about. Or someone with a similar name connected more to you directly.
Right.
Probably an.
I wonder, was there an Evelyn? Could it be Evelyn? Because that's my mother's other sister.
Yeah, I'm getting that big Lynn sound in the name. So that's probably Evelyn. Now, why I'm getting Evelyn, I'm not quite sure. They're not telling me why. It's probably just the connection, the same sounding name as Leona. Usually I get people who are very directly connected with the person I'm talking to. Leona wasn't quite as directly connected to you, even though you were probably there with her for a while. So Evelyn, has she passed on?
Yes, she did, and she had Parkinson's.
Oh, okay, beginning to understand. And did she live near flowing water?
At one point in time, they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And
on the
farm,
actually.
Yeah, and did you visit there a lot? It was really lovely there. Did you visit there a lot?
Well, once a year. That was, you know, that was all we traveled, really, because we had a farm, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
But she was wonderful.
So she comes in just to have you recall that time, those times when you visited once a year, because that was like the place she goes back to in her mind a lot, because she really enjoyed those times, and she really enjoyed that piece of land with the water flowing through it or on it, across it, however you want to word it. And so she's trying to recall that and share that memory with you. As that's like their gift. When they're sharing memories with you, it's because they were good memories and they want to share them with you.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's sort of her little gift to you, is the sharing of that memory.
Well, you know, they were sisters and very, very fond memories of them, you know, as a child growing up.
Right. So she is equally fond of those memories as you are.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you. I will tell my mom that I connected with her two sisters.
Wonderful, do that.
Because it'll make her, you know, it'll make mom feel a lot better. Because I just tell her, you know, like, you're never gone. Like,
right.
You know, and she's
exactly right. You know how they share those really fond memories with you? They get to be in those places, you know, as much as they want now that they're gone. They get to be reliving all those times and memories again as much as they want. That's why we call it heaven, and that's why we perceive it as such a happy place. It's because it is. It's a school ground. It's the higher school ground, but it's also, you know, at the same time we can enjoy learning there. It's not, learning is not drudgery. It's not tense, you know.
Okay. So how would you tell, like, I told my mom, that, you know, heaven is a beautiful place. I told actually Leona, I said, it's beautiful there. And when I was taking care of her, and she's like, yeah, right, you're cuckoo. I could read her mind, you know. And then when she passed, it was like, she said, you were right. The angels are beautiful here.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. And
but my mom is the challenge, and I have such a challenge with my mom, and, you know, if you girls had an idea of how to, lighten it up, you know, for my mom, because she thinks that, you know, it's like she still has that vision of heaven and hell.
No, there's no hell. There's no hell but what we make here on Earth. There doesn't need to be any other hell, because we so often tend to create it in our here and now on the earthly plane for ourselves. And sometimes it seems to be very difficult to create something better, like a heaven on Earth, or even, you know, just something better than hell on Earth. But it really is. That's when you want to go to a life coach, when you seem to be creating your own hell on earth for no reason. That's when you want to go to a life coach and envision something better, and have your life coach help you envision something better, and then realize that vision.
Ah, that's interesting.
So this is where my two lines of work cross each other and overlap. And this is what makes it really, really fun for me. And I do this over the phone, and it's great because you have the psychic edge to my coaching, to your coaching experience with me.
Well, it would be interesting to see if she was open to it because, you know, a friend of hers just passed and she was very devastated about it. And,
right. That's
you know.
We have to go through that. We have
yeah,
to.
It's, you know, it's still, there is always still that loss.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems unfair and maybe it's sometimes our selfishness, you know,
yeah.
that, you know, like they're
yeah.
ready to go. Their
right.
soul's ready to go.
Right,
but,
yeah.
Hmm.
And, you know, we, unless something very unnatural happens, we don't tend to go until we're really ready. You know, in the two or three moments just before our passing, we tend to see, suddenly be able to see reason, you know, with our guides. They come and they explain something to us and say, okay, you've done your job now. And now it's time for you to move on to here and be with the rest of your family that have already passed on before you because now you have a duty somewhere else and you have a job to do in terms of recreating yourself into the next life or into your next form. Let's see. Oh, I'm seeing this show. She accidentally hung up on this show.
No, actually, I didn't hang up on the show. I was just letting you finish. The show is actually just now ended. So my other caller just hung up on the show accidentally and wanted to talk with you, too. So I just figured I would wait till you guys were done because the show here just ended.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
My number, if you still have their number, feel free to pass on my information. And I'm sorry, Muriel's granddaughter, are you still there?
Yes. No, I'm not her. No,
yes,
no.
She's still there.
You're
Muriel's friend?
No, I'm her. No, Muriel is my aunt.
Muriel's your aunt. I'm sorry. Muriel's niece, what was your name?
Sandra.
Sandra, forgive me, Sandra. Why don't I give you my number? And if you want to continue this conversation, we can at a slightly later time, okay?
Okay, sure, that would be great.
Super. My number is 707-722-3578. I was really enjoying being able to help you out with your issues here.
All right, so thank you for coming today, and we'll do this again.
Super. I hope
Amanda, I just missed that number.
You want that
all right,
number?
I'll text it to you in chat because I'll go on and end this, and then all right.
Okay,
blessings, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Okay, you too.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com. and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
This one's for the girl that I see at the coffee shop. Who knows my name and looks so hot. I always get an extra.
all the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind. Every dream that reaches out to find the love we gave. Every word of every story, every star in every sky, every corner of creation lives to testify. Every breath I take, we'll give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live,